It is good to be in the house of the Lord. Well, we've been, last week, Matt shared that how the Lord has been loving us. He's been showing us His love for weeks now. I mean, the messages have been on God's love. It's again this morning. It was pointed out in the songs and it just repeatedly. We've been hearing that how God loves us, and I actually didn't get a message till yesterday morning. I just Lord woke me up early, and I went down and began to write and share just to get a what He wanted to bring to the body of Christ today, and so I thought about how He loves us so much. What can we do to love Him? How are we supposed to love the Father back? You know, because every love relationship has two people that reciprocate love. They, with your spouse, you want to give them love. It's not about receiving love so much in a love relationship, but in giving love. And so, this morning we want to see how He is a constant companion and taking care of us, but how, not that so much, but how we can return that love to Him. So before we get into that, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, help me, Holy Spirit, to bring the message that You have given to heart, Lord, but to, Lord, that I won't get in Your way, but that I'll allow You to move and to speak as You want to the body of Christ today. Father, that we'll receive what You have to say with listening ears, Father, with hearts, open hearts to do Your will. Father, we want to walk in Your ways. We want to be Your loving children, the bride of Christ, without spot or wrinkle, as we walk in obedience with You. Father, have Your way today. Guide us in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to start this morning with the greatest commandment. Matthew 22. So if you want to turn there with me. Matthew 22, beginning at verse 36. This is the disciples. They were talking with Jesus and there. And verse 36, it says, one of them, an expert in the law, tested Him with this question. He said, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And verse 40 says, "And the law, all the law and the prophets, hang on these two commands." So, as we hear what the greatest commandment is, to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, all of our soul, and all of our might, and all of our strength. Just a way that we reciprocate. So in doing that, what does that require? Well, the second command, He said, is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. So as we love one another, we're showing our love to the Father. As we love one another, as we care for one another, we're showing our love for Father. We've been talking, I was amazed this morning how much our Sunday school lesson is relative to what the Lord brought me for today. And I hadn't looked at the Sunday school lesson ahead of time and for that to be in my mind, but it fits so well because it talked about being a servant. And so being a servant is loving God, having a servant's heart. Galatians 5:13-15 says about the same thing. And I just want to turn there and read that as well. Just over a few chapters. Galatians 5. And 13-15. You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command: love your neighbor as yourself. You keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So the church is made to take care of itself, to take care of one another, to share with one another, to be God's people, to be His servants and care for one another. There's a lot of scriptures that point to this. And in doing this, I think what I've seen is since COVID, we've kind of lost some of the first love that we had. And as I think back to my relationship with Patsy and when we first realized that we loved each other, it was hard for me to stay away from her. I just wanted to be with her. I wanted to, when you have a love relationship, you want to share time with those people. And I thought, how did we get deceived into believing it's okay to not get together as a church? You know, for a while we had to stay home. It was required that we stayed home. And then I think Satan deceived us into believing, well, it's okay if we miss. I can remember when our Sunday school time thrived here. Now we're to the place where we haven't had Sunday school even for our youngsters. We've had the adults getting together through all of it, but we don't have Sunday school for our youngsters anymore. We're going to get that started back because we've got a couple of them who are coming who want to learn. So it's something we feel that as a body we need to take back up. I believe that, well, I've seen it in our fellowship time. Our fellowship time is dwindling. We're down to maybe 10 to 15 who want to come to share in our Sunday morning fellowship, Donut and Sunday. And that used to be 30 to 40 people. But we got in the habit of staying home, so it's easier to sleep in and not come. But are we really doing the church a favor by not gathering when the church is here? I grew up going to church 3 times a week. We always did Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. And I think you know what? We put priorities on what's important to us. We put priorities where it's whatever's important to us, and sometimes it affects the body of Christ. And so we just need to decide where our priorities are going to be. Let's go to Revelation chapter 1 to begin with. I just wanted to start out with, again, letting you know that this revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what was soon to take place, he made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testifies to everything he saw that it is the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Verse 3, he said, is blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. How much nearer is it today than when it was written? The time is near, folks. And I want to look in chapter 2 at the church in Ephesus, because I think that it fits so well with what the Lord was telling me as I spent time with Him yesterday morning. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, these are the words of Him who holds the seven stars in His right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. So as I told you several weeks ago, the golden lampstands are the churches, seven churches. And verse 2, he says, I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked men, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name, and have not grown weary. Yet, he says, I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. Remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand, or remove your church from its place. But you have this in your favor. You hate the practice of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Or you hate sin, basically, is what it's saying there. Nicolaitans were a sinful people. And so he's saying you hate sin, which I also hate. And then verse 7, he says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. So as the church in Ephesus, I feel we have lost our first love, that we need to get back to some of the basics of being a church that we have neglected, because they were taken away really during the time of COVID, or we let them be taken away. I think that it was a deception of Satan. How many churches dissolved during that time because people stopped coming? I've been to churches who people are sitting in the parking lot instead of coming into the building listening to it on the radio, because they're afraid of what might be passed around to each other. We don't need that. We don't need to do that. I think we've become complacent in caring for each other, in our fellowship, encouraging one another. It's all part of the church, part of being a part of the body of Christ. For me, this fellowship time is a time of that I can get to know you guys better. I can share that time and knowing you. This hour that we spend together now, I can't really get to know you in this, because we don't have time to sit and talk, share life. Some of you, like Josh and Kinsey, you've been coming for weeks, and I haven't really got back to even speak to you at the end. But I thank you for continuing to come, even though maybe I have neglected the time that I should be sharing with you. So thank you for doing that, for feeling like family enough, even though I haven't made the special effort that I should have for you guys. I know some of you others have made them feel welcome, or they wouldn't have kept coming back, and so thank you for that. And that's one of the things you guys do well, is servanthood. You serve well. Hallelujah. But I just, as I was sharing with the Lord yesterday morning, He just showed me how we've kind of lost some of that first love that we had. I can remember maybe four different small groups operating out of here. So perhaps it's time to get that going again. Small groups. How about hospitality? Just invite somebody over for a meal. Share a meal together with someone. What a great way to get to know people. So, in spite of some of the things that we've neglected or lost, the church has grown. It's because of the Father. It's the only reason that the church continues to grow, even though we're not doing everything that we could. The church, God's church, will grow if we continue to pay attention to allowing Him to lead us. That's really the only credit that I can give is to the Father, because He continues to thrive His church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I feel like spiritually we've grown stronger than I've ever seen the church since I've been here. We don't have the backbiting dissension that we've had in the past. The elders have been very thankful for that, because it's a hard time when you have those who are bickering and fighting, and we were every week trying to put a fire out. It was hard. It was hard. And so we thank the Lord for where we are and what we're doing. But I feel like maybe we need to get back to the fellowship time. Not maybe so much here, but away from the church. Time of growing. So, when we have the... What night is the movie? The 25th? Maybe we ought to just all come. Maybe it's not just for kids. Maybe we should all come and just share some time together. Family time is important, guys. It's so important just to share time together as a family. Hospitality, meals together. And as I said, we used to have a very vibrant Sunday school here. We had lots of kids. We've got lots of kids, but most of them don't come until 10 o'clock. And it'd be awesome to see our Sunday school full again. It takes our children growing up in the church for the church continue down the road, because the oldsters die off. If the youngsters don't want to be here and leave, I saw this in the Mennonite church, guys. I grew up in the Mennonite church. Mennonite church is, well, what should I say? There's a lot of traditions of men there. It's not as, well, I can't say that. I'm not going to say that. Never mind. As we grew up, we left. Kids, youth left the Mennonite church. We see in our work, we see it with the Amish. A lot of them leave as they grow and realize what God is really doing, who He really is. And so what was a thriving church when I was a youngster is down to maybe 15 people now. One of the families stayed, and their family goes there, and there's a few others, but not very many. So for this church to continue to thrive through the years, we have to involve our children. As I shared in the Gideon ministry, going around to different churches, I was in many churches who have 10 older women in the church, maybe one or two men, and that's it. No children. But they continue to hire a pastor and have worship because that's what they've done year after year after year. And so I feel like we really have to pay attention to our children. So we're going to have to make sure that that grows instead of going backwards. Because, and I just spoke to Julie this morning, because Brenna and Brody are the only two who come for Sunday school. But I feel like if there's two, then we need to have somebody for them. So I think that's something that we're going to have to initiate again and get rolling, just because we want to pay attention to our children and to what they're doing.
It's all about love.
First of all, it's about God loving us. And then the second commandment is us loving others. And I did not look up the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. But Jesus said the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. If you love your neighbor, you want what's best for them. Because God is love, the most important lesson he wants us to learn on earth is how to love. 1 Corinthians 13:3 in the Message says, no matter what I say, what I believe, what I do, I'm bankrupt without love, or I'm empty without love. You all know that 1 Corinthians 13 is the love chapter. I'm not going to go to that today, but you know the verses. You know what love is. You know how to do it, how to love people. And in 14, verse 1 says, follow the way of love. Just kind of sums it all up at the end of chapter 13. It begins by saying, follow the way of love. I'm going to go to Ephesians this morning, just for a few verses. When Paul wrote to the Ephesian church, he was talking about how we can live with one another and care for one another. I want to begin in Ephesians 4:29 today and then go through into chapter 5. Ephesians 4:29 says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. So we're to encourage one another. Lift each other up. Just make sure that people are getting what they need. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption, but get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. 5:1 says, be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. And then down at verse 15 in chapter 5, he says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, and sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. It's not about me. It's not about me. It's about you. So there's a lot of good things to say in the Gospels. I want to finish up in Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3 and verse 12. Philippians, Colossians. Get going the right direction here. And we're going to finish up today with verses 12 through 17 in Colossians. It says, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Forbear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." Glory to God. What matters most is how we love, how we share time with one another. So as we wrap things up today, I felt like God just to close it up with just time for you guys to share with one another. I've noticed that you've been doing that lately. As church ends, you stay and you share with one another. You communicate with one another. You share in each other's lives, and that's awesome. So take time for that today. But I do want to close with the praise team and just allow time for if any of you would like prayer, we can do that this morning. Pray with you. And also, before you go today, the children have made Valentines for each of you, so make sure you stick around till they're brought out and you can get one of those. Something that they've put a lot of time into, so make sure you take time to thank them and love the kids for what they do for us. God bless you.